Us to continue our series as we look at the seven habits of highly effective Christians. We've already looked at four of them. We talked about prayer, Bible study, worship, and last week we talked about service. This morning I want us to look at the fifth habit of highly effective Christians, and that is the habit of stewardship. Now, as soon as you heard that word, I know your spine went like this and you thought, oh, here's another preacher going to talk about money. I want to put you at ease this morning, because it is my opinion that the word stewardship has been misapplied from the pulpit so often that it is usually misunderstood by most of us. Stewardship so often makes us think of giving money to pay the bills at the church. This morning we're going to talk about biblical stewardship, and there's just a whole lot more to it than another sermon about giving money. You know, we usually receive our offering after the sermon, after the invitation time. And one Sunday, I got a little carried away. I was preaching a little longer than usual. And finally, this little boy who was sitting up close, he got a little restless. He turned to his daddy and he said, "Daddy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go?" Oh, that never really happened to my knowledge. But that's the way most of us think about stewardship. It's a preacher who's using a biblical term to get us to give stuff. I want us to think about it in a different way this morning. I was at a conference not long ago, and at the conference, they encouraged us to use the word generosity instead of stewardship when we talk about material things in church. They encouraged us to use the term generosity because stewardship has such a bad connotation, and we just kind of negatively react when we hear it. He said you ought to use the word generosity instead. And you know what? I chose not to do that, and here's why. Generosity implies that I have something that is mine and I ought to share it with others. The biblical view of stewardship says that whatever I have is really God's. And I think that's a significant difference. So I'm not going to talk about generosity because that implies it's yours to begin with. Instead, we want to look at stewardship. Stewardship is recognizing that God owns everything. And he has entrusted me with certain material things. I am then called to use those material things to serve and glorify him. Another way of saying that is that stewardship is more about how you live than what you give. It's more about your mind than it is about your money. It's more about your attitude than it is about your assets. It's more about what's in your heart than what's in your hand. Stewardship is more about spirituality than it is about stuff. Let me show you that. Matthew chapter 25. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're going to look at the famous parable of the talents. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 14 as Jesus tells the parable of the talents. It says in verse 14, "It is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them." Now, the version I'm reading from is the New American Standard Version, and it says, "For it is just like a man." Some of you have other versions that tell us what the "it" is. It is the kingdom of God. Now, we know it's the kingdom of God because the context, the story before is about the kingdom of God, the story after is about the kingdom of God, and all that Jesus is teaching in this area, this part of the gospel, is about the kingdom of God. So we know that's what he's talking about. So it is the kingdom of God is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And what we find out as we read through the rest of the gospel and as we understand the story of Jesus Christ is he is telling his story. He is about to leave. He's not going to be with his disciples, his followers, forever. He is indeed about to leave, and he is going to entrust to them certain things. And one of these days, he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he wants to find that his stewards have taken good care of the stuff that he left them. He wants to return and find that his stewards have well cared for the things that have been entrusted into their care. And so in this context then it says the kingdom is like the man who goes on a journey and entrusted his possessions to them. And in that verse we get the first important thing that I want you to see this morning, and that is that everything belongs to God. In the story, the man gives his possessions to these slaves. He trusts them with his stuff. It's not theirs. You see, it says he gives it to them, but it's not theirs. They're supposed to do something with it on his behalf in his absence. He has entrusted it to them. But he is the owner. He is the owner. They are the managers. See, some say that money is worldly. They say it's tainted. Well, in a way, they're right. Money is tainted. Taint yours and taint mine. It is God's. Whatever we have has been given to us for a time by God. He owns literally everything. Psalm 24 and verse 1 makes it pretty clear. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. He is the owner. Well, you know, there's some of us who would say this morning, well, no, I don't buy that. My stuff is mine because I worked for it. I earned it. Nobody gave it to me. I worked hard and I earned what I have. And I would then just have to direct your attention to Deuteronomy 8. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You see, whatever we have because He has given it to us. Just like we reminded the children, James says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. John says a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. The things we have are not our own, they are ours on loan. It was God's property before we arrived, and God will loan it to someone else after we die. Bill Gates, at a net worth of $43 billion, is reported to be the wealthiest man alive. When he dies, do you know how much he will leave behind? All of it. All of it. You see, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it." We are entrusted with certain things for a certain time. We must not lose sight of the fact that we are not God. We must not lose sight of the fact that whatever we've been entrusted with for this temporary experience really belongs to God. It is therefore important that we become good managers of that which He has entrusted to us. I came across a video recently that I think helps us get a good picture of what stewardship is really all about. So take out the negative connotations of that word and instead watch this real quickly and let's see if we can get a better understanding of it.
Stewardship. It's kind of a churchy word, but what does it mean? This is stewardship plain and simple. Meet John. He loves to play golf, eat Italian, and go to the movies. He has a house, a car, and a job that pays the bills. In his free time, he catches up on the latest game, and he plays his guitar. So here's where stewardship comes in. Everything John has, from his TV, to his car, to even his ability to play guitar, well, none of it actually belongs to him. Are you ready for this? From the little things, all the way to the big stuff, like his house, it all belongs to God. You're a steward of everything God gave you. It's a privilege, and He expects you to be responsible, not just with your finances, but your time, talents, and toys. So what does it mean to be responsible? Well, like hosting a Bible study at your house, or using your free time to visit someone in the hospital, or how about giving money to an out-of-work friend? It's all stewardship. So when it's time to give back, say the plate gets passed, or the children's minister asks you to serve in the toddler's room again, think to yourself this one simple question. Does what I have belong to me or God?
A good, simple question. Does what I have belong to me or to God? Scripture says that God owns everything. So everything belongs to God. But the second thing that we can learn from the parable is that we are just managers. He owns it, we manage it. Let's continue the story here at verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now, when they use the word talents, that's not talking about talents that we think of. It's not abilities. It actually is a measure of money. Some commentators suggest that a talent was equal to 20 years' salary. It's a good bit of money. And he gave to one, he gave 10 talents. To another, he gave 2. And to the third, he gave 1, each to his own ability to take care of those things and to use them wisely. Verse 16, immediately the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. The 3 stewards responded in different ways. 2 of them took the money and did something with it. They invested it, or they did something in the market. We don't know. It doesn't give us details, but they used it wisely. And they doubled their money. Well, they doubled the owner's money. They accepted the responsibility of stewardship, and they handled it wisely. But then there was that third one, the one who got the smallest amount, and he just hid it. He didn't handle it wisely. He didn't do anything that would benefit the owner. He just hid it. He set it aside. You see, the owner expected good stewardship from all 3, whether they got 5 or 2 or 1, he expected good stewardship from all 3. You see, I think sometimes we look at so-and-so and we say, you know what, so-and-so has more money than I do. He ought to give more or do more. He ought to be a good steward. He's got it. He can do it. But did you notice in the story, the owner expected good stewardship from even the one who only had the 1. I've noticed something about folks. I know some rich people who are very greedy. And I know some rich people who are very generous. That doesn't shock you. You know rich people who are greedy. You know rich people who are generous. But you know what? I've noticed something else too. I've also noticed some poor people who are greedy. And I've noticed some poor people who are generous. You see, it's not about what's in your pocketbook nearly as much as it is about what's in your heart. Stewardship is expected from all of us who trust in Him. When John Wesley visited his congregations, he would question the assistant pastors that he had in those various congregations. He would question them to see about the progress in their faith. And often he would ask if their Christianity had affected their pockets. What a great question is that? Has your Christianity affected your pocket? Is it so real to you that you see your life in service to the Master, so that it even affects the material things that you have in life? As you know, Charles Spurgeon is one of my heroes. He's called the Prince of Preachers. He once was invited by a wealthy man to come down to the man's area and preach in a country church in order to help them raise money to pay off a debt. The man who invited Spurgeon told him that, Spurgeon, when you come down here, you're welcome. You're free to either stay in my country house, or you could stay in my townhouse, or you could stay in my seaside home. Spurgeon wrote back and declined the invitation. And he said, instead of me coming to help you raise money to pay off your debt, sell one of your homes and pay the debt yourself. You know, the challenge was clear. Has your Christianity affected your pocket? Has your faith brought you to the point where you recognize that anything you have really is God's anyway, and He is entrusting it to your care, expecting you to use it for His glory? Stewardship is not just about giving money to the church. It's a way of life. It is living for Jesus. On the morning of October 2, Mrs. Woodrow Wilson, the wife of the president, found her husband unconscious on the bathroom floor. He was bleeding from a cut on his head. Wilson had suffered a stroke, a massive attack that left his left side paralyzed and it impaired his vision. She immediately summoned Dr. Grayson, and then the conspiracy began. The two of them formed a bulwark between the invalid president and the rest of the country, simultaneously shielding Wilson from intrusion and hiding his condition from outsiders. For 17 months, the enfeebled president lay in his bed on the brink of death, barely able to write his own name. The outside world never knew anything about it. All communication with the president went through his wife. She entered the sick room with messages and emerged with verbal instructions or a scrawl of a signature on a piece of paper. Edith Wilson called that period of her life her stewardship. She accepted responsibility on behalf of the president to conduct his business. You see, that's what stewardship is for us. It's the opportunity to honor God by conducting His business in our lives. The first thing that we recognize in this great story is that everything belongs to God. Secondly, we notice that we are just managers. And then third, we recognize that we use material things to serve the Master. We're just the managers, and we use the things that we have to serve Him. Let's pick up our story in verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received the two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me two talents. See, I gained two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather what I scattered, where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. The master returned, and two had been faithful, and he said, Well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who responded in fear and did not handle what he had been entrusted with well, the master said to him, Take the little he has left and give it to someone else who I can trust. You see, biblical steward bows down before the throne and says, God, use me, and whatever you've placed in my hands for your glory, I surrender all. There was a church one time that held a special offering. Instead of just dropping your money in the plate as it went by, they held a special offering one time, and they asked people to bring gifts to the altar, and some people brought cash down to the altar. Somebody brought like a stock or a bond document down to the altar. They were bringing different valuables. Some people brought jewelry. The ushers caught sight of a little girl hugging her doll goodbye and putting that doll into one of the collection boxes up front. Well, as things came to a conclusion, the usher came over. He retrieved that doll out of the box. He walked over to the little girl as she sat with her parents. The usher gave that little girl her doll back, said, You know, the church has collected enough money. We'll be okay without this. And the little girl wrinkled her nose, and she said in a very matter-of-fact way, I did not give my dolly to you. I did not give my dolly to the church. I gave my dolly to God. You see, there's a gift of love. That is stewardship. Stewardship committee, you finna get mad at me. That's all right. But I'm going to say this. Don't give money for us to keep the light bill paid. I don't want you to give money to the church so we can pay our bills. If and when you recognize stewardship and you know God is calling you to use what he's entrusted to you in the right way, if God calls you to give to the church, that's when you give. The tithe is scriptural, we know that. But when it's time to give over and above the tithe, that is a gift as a steward, not just to pay the bills. We use material things to serve the master. Do you want to hear the master say, Well done, good and faithful servant? Or do we want to hear him say, You lazy slave? You know, butterball turkeys sell all those turkeys around Thanksgiving, and they have a helpline. Did you know that? There's a butterball helpline around Thanksgiving time. You can call and ask for technical support on your turkey. And they get all kinds of calls. One year the lady called and she said, I've had this turkey in my freezer for 23 years. Do you think it's still safe? Well, the people at the Butterball Helpline told her that if the freezer had been kept at 0 degrees and never defrosted, that the turkey was probably safe, but its quality would not be very good. The lady said, "Well, that's what we thought. We'll just give it to the church." Is that your view of stewardship? I'll give whatever I really don't want anyway. There's a far better view of stewardship that says whatever I have has been given to me by God, and I will honor Him by using it for His glory. That's why a steward can share what he has with others. That's why he can give and feel good about it. He knows that in giving, he is investing in the kingdom and serving the King. Billy Graham wrote, "God has given us two hands, one to receive with, the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing. If we fail to fulfill this divine duty and privilege, we have missed the meaning of Christianity." Well, at the end of each message during this series, I try to give you a couple of quick suggestions for making this habit a part of your life, for establishing this habit. Let me just real quickly give you a couple of ideas for this week to help establish the habit of stewardship. One, count your blessings this week. Take inventory. Look around, stop and think, count your blessings, see what you have, and then ask yourself, how am I using that for the Master? How am I using that for the Master? How am I using that for the Master? The second suggestion I want to give you, you're going to think it's kind of silly at first, but hang in there and give it a shot. I want to encourage you to take a dollar bill, and on the back of the dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." And are you like me? All the bills in your wallet have to be in order and facing the same direction. Is that you? I can't stand for them to be all mixed up and backwards and goofy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that dollar bill, and on the side that says, "In God we trust," I want you to put that so it's the first bill in your wallet. All right? With those words, "In God we trust," facing you. So that for the next week or 2 weeks, every time you open your wallet, the first thing you see is, "I don't trust in my money, I trust in God who gave it to me." I want to encourage you to do that for the next week or two. Just a simple suggestion for establishing the habit of stewardship. And then third, sometime this week, I want to encourage you to get alone, to be alone. Get some privacy. Get quiet and sit down and get ready to pray. And when you do, I want to encourage you to open both hands upwards and pray with your hands open. The reason I want to encourage you to do that is when you pray with your hands open, you say, "God, I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me. And whatever I have is yours. I'm ready to give to you whatever you call me to give. And I'm ready to receive whatever you have to give." Open hands says to God, "I'm yours, I'm ready to receive, and I'm ready to give." I want to encourage you sometime in the next week, find time to just sit and be quiet and pray with open hands. All right? Let's pray right now. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all that you've entrusted into our care. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be good stewards, that life would be about serving the Master instead of about accumulating things. Father, we pray that in the next few moments where we have time to reflect, where we have time to be quiet and real with you and with ourselves, that during these moments, Father, that if we need to take a step of faith or if we need to do business with you in some way, that you'd help us to be open to that. Open our hearts and minds so that we can hear you as you move, as you speak. Father, help us to do whatever you call us to do during these moments. In Jesus' name.